Hello and welcome to your preview of Super Rugby Round 3. It's an exciting one. It's a very close table at the moment. I'm Chris DeJoran, and joining me to run you through all the team news is Nick Wasiliev, also from The Raw. Nick, thanks for joining this Thursday afternoon.
Thank you very much for having me. And wow, what a round of super round that we got. It was definitely kind of threw all of our tips into haywire. And I will say tipping this week was a lot more difficult, but it's the right sort of problem to have, isn't it?
It's exactly what you want to experience. A little bit of a doubt. You don't want to go into a game, too many games anyway, with a preconceived idea of who's going to win. And look, let me tell you, round three, there's a number of games where you could almost toss the coin once again. So without further ado, we're going to talk a little bit about the Wallabies blowout budget later on following this rapid fire edition of the team previews. But we'll get into the team news first of all. There's six games once again this weekend, and it starts across the ditch, in fact, in Waikato with Moana Pacifica and the Melbourne Rebels. Both teams have got a win each. Moana Pacifica held on against Fiji last week. The Rebels coming back against the Western Force. And, Nick, it seems like this game could very much go either way.
Absolutely. So for context, if anyone has missed it, the game will be played in Hamilton, not at Mount Smart, just because of I think it was some sort of issues with the surface out at Mount Smart. So they will be playing, where the Chiefs normally play. But yeah, I think we go Rebels on this one. But I will mention they have been forced into multiple changes. There's been five changes to the starting side. So injuries have really struck the Rebels off the back of Super Round. So Sam Talakai will be coming into the starting side. And interestingly, the Tongan Thor is going to be injected off the bench, which should be very, very interesting. Brad Wilkin has also been ruled out of this clash as well in the loose forwards. Another interesting call of Ryan Lowrens is also coming in to partner with Carter Gordon. Such a shame that Matt Proctor is also out after Super Round as well. He was looking really, really good, I thought, in that performance against the Force. But Philippe Dalgunu will shift back into the midfield while Jake Strawn will come on in fullback. And interestingly, Andrew Kellaway shifted to the wing, which is a very interesting call. I thought he was doing quite well at fullback.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of how do we ensure that the team is at its strongest. And yeah, Kellaway was superb. He was close to the player of the round last week. But Jake Strawn came across from the Western Force, and he had a really, really fabulous cameo off the bench when he came on, introduced early after that injury blow to Mac Proctor. And I think it's a good call. You're moving him to fullback, it's a position he's really comfortable with. Dalgunu into the midfield. There's a bit of punch there. You need that against Moana Pacifica. And similarly, Taniela Tupou off the bench. You look at it, it's a bit more inexperienced from last week. You've got Lucas Ripley and Glenn Baihu coming onto the bench. No Alex Murphy. So Dobbins comes in as the replacement hooker. So I think Tupou's impact is going to be really significant. He was blowing after 50 minutes last week. It's a nice way to... It's a nice way to just allow him to we've seen so many injuries from Taniela over the last couple of years. Here's a way to manage him a little bit better. The thing that I'm interested about is last week, the Rebels put very little ball pressure on the ball. They almost held off the breakdown. And that in the first 50 minutes wasn't working. The Western Force were able to get quick ball for Ben Donaldson to work his magic. And with no Brad Wilkin and Veilanu-esque Kouassi coming in to wear the number 7 jersey, usually he's in the back row wearing 6 or 8. That's an area of the game where Moana Pacifica will try to target, I reckon, around that breakdown. And with William Havili showing what he's capable of, wearing the number 10 jersey, Danny Tuala at fullback, a forward pack that's grown with their combinations and continuity off the back of last year, this is a really tough game for the Rebels.
Absolutely. And additionally, if the Rebels start in a similar way to they have in rounds 1 and 2, I can see Moana winning this, because if there is one thing that we learned about that performance against the Drua is this is a much more well-drilled, well-disciplined Moana side. I will say, you know, on the topic of coaching discussions that we've had, it seems being an assistant coach at the Blues for a little while has done Thanga Umanga the world of good in terms of his management of teams. He looks like a much better coach and a much more disciplined coach. He's really freshened up the 23 for this particular clash. A lot more dangers in the back line. Patafilo is going to rejoin the side on the right wing, as well as on the left wing. We have a new starter in Tutavuki on the left wing, as Molly will also kind of make a start in the hooker position. So there are a lot of options there that are being brought in to Moana Pacifica's side. And even though I say the Rebels have more firepower on paper, rugby is not played on paper, and it is clear that they're going to have to be a lot more disciplined and come out the gates a lot quicker if they are to beat Moana Pacifica.
Yeah, I've got the Rebels, but only just, and I think it's almost premature to know how Tanner Ramunga is going to go, but he's made a good start. We'll shift over to Allianz Stadium. This is a really important game for the Waratahs. They struggled at home last year. They lost their first game against the Brumbies, and then they got beaten comprehensively, really, in the end by Moana Pacifica, who notched their first win of the season in the Waratahs' last home game of last year. The Tahs, they come up against the Highlanders, had a pretty good record over them recent years, but consistency has been something that they've struggled with. So it's a couple of injuries to the Tahs. Nick, who's come in?
Well, you're not wrong about consistency. If there's one thing that is consistent about the Tahs in the last few years is that they've been consistently inconsistent. However, they should be up for this match. And when the referrals of who's coming back in are a certain two Wallabies. Ned Hannigan, off the back of his performance last week off the bench, has been promoted into the starting side. And Zaire Parisi is also back, which is a very welcome sight for the Waratahs backline. Rather, this will see Harry Wilson drop back to the bench, so Parisi will partner with Joey Walton, which should be a very good inclusion. We're also going to see Tom Ross, former Brumby. He's going to come onto the bench as the backup tight head prop. Tui Pilotu was also going to wear the number 23 jersey as well. Unfortunately, Dylan Peach is out. He's been hit with an eye injury. So Tristan Riley will start on the wing. Interesting, on top of it, another reason why I think they're going to be up for this is the Highlanders have also had to make a couple of changes. Billy Harmon, the captain, and Sean Withy are going to be on the bench, and not for they were late to a team meeting. So it's a team standards and a discipline reason why they're not going to be there. So on the park, you'd say the key challenges, I think, would be containing the likes of Fakatava and a certain Ethan de Groot and Jermaine Ainsley in the front row. So there is a lot to suggest that the Waratahs have enough firepower to win this game, but, you know, you can't rule out a Kiwi side whenever you're playing them. That's what we know.
No, you're not wrong. I think the Waratahs should be too good. I think the loss of Parry Parkinson in the second row is a really significant run for the Highlanders. Billy Harmon's a quality player. He'll get introduced in the second half and probably put some pressure on around the breakdown. So it's pretty simple for the Tahs. They've just got to get clean, crisp ball. Tane Edmund, you know, he will want to build on the back of a really promising performance. And sometimes another shift to the midfield isn't always ideal, because that's where the continuity you're trying to get to allow your outside backs like your Mark Nwanga Nediwasis and Max Jorgensen's to get some quick ball and do what they can. I think, though, the Tahs should be too good. I've got them by about 10 points, but as you say, Highlanders, there's some threats. Reece Patchell's been in great form to start his Super Rugby career. So, yeah, lots to look forward to about that game. There's four games on Saturday. And for, you know, a 12:05, it is a banquet of rugby. So look forward to that. And I think three of those games, at least two of those games, I don't really know where this is going. Fiji, Drua and the Crusaders start the Saturday action off at Churchill Park. It's going to be a cracker. We know that the Drua last year upset the Crusaders. Can they do it again, Nick?
How good to start the weekend. I'm not going to lie. Have your morning coffee, get up late, and then at 12 o'clock the rugby starts and continues pretty much all the way for the rest of the day. This is a good question. Are we daring to say this, Christy? Are we daring to say the Crusaders will be 0-3 for the first time since 1996? It is a dangerous prospect. to throw out there. But the Drua in Fiji is a whole other different beast, if there's one thing that we do know. And God, I mean, I'm definitely got egg on my face right now as with my predictions at the start of the year. And I will say there is a lot of change coming in. We have Kamara coming in, joining the Crusaders as an injury cover, as well as Joan Rover, who is also in line to make his debut. So there's going to be a lot of uncapped, so also two uncapped players on the bench for the Crusaders as well. And meanwhile, the Drua do have a couple of good names returning. The first, the biggest obvious one is a certain Alicia Draisi. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I think it's a pretty good effort, yeah.
Who returns to the starting side at fullback. Very, very versatile, dangerous player in the back three. We're also going to see a couple more names, Kuri Drua and Mira Mira. As well as Hatete also coming back into for their first start of the season. It's a tough one to call this. It's a very tough one because the Crusaders will be desperate for a win, and they still have a lot of talent in that squad. But my heart's saying Drua. My heart is saying Drua, that they'll grab their first win.
So you're backing the Drua, are you?
I am. God, I was jokingly saying before we started, you know, this season that I would challenge you on Twitter that if they made the semifinals, we would bet some carver over it. And right now it is not going in my favour. So the law of averages and the Fijian flair suggests they're going to come good at some point. And we're better too than at home, first home game of the season.
Yeah, I think the first 20 minutes is going to be just critical. And the Crusaders have got to come out of the blocks well. I think they've got the strike power to do it. Their forward pack still looks pretty good. They don't have the depth that they might have once. But you look across the top five, Quinton Strange is coming into the second row. You've got Christy Gardner-Grace. There's a bit of experience there in the back row. Willie Hines is a big one coming in at half back. And that'll provide a fair bit more experience for Kamara outside him. And it's pretty unchanged out wide. You've got Martiale on the left wing. And we know Severus and his ability to find the try line. He was superb last week in that loss. So it is the interchange. It is the bench where the Crusaders don't have the depth that once upon a time they did. So we know Fiji like to finish games strong, particularly at home. If the game's in the balance at the 60-minute mark, I can see the Drua scraping home, but I think the Crusaders will be too good out of the blocks. But we'll see. It'll be a cracking game, and I think for the competition, it'd be awesome to be able to see Fiji kick on here. Okay, let's move. Saturday afternoon footy, actually, GIO Stadium. The Brumbies here, first game. They've spent the last couple of weeks in Melbourne, having taken on the Rebels first round before returning for Super Round. They've got to respond quickly, and they've got the Western Force. I think they'll probably be too strong, but there's a couple of changes for both sides.
Yes, there is. And after last week's performance, they do have a lot of questions to answer, both sides, to be honest. Kind of the sides that went that kind of really, there were a lot of question marks about how they both approached Super Round. But Darcy Swain is the key return for one of the key returns for the Brumbies, particularly in the forward pack, which I think he'll be moving into the second row to partner with Nick Frost. But for everyone looking, that'll see Tom Hooper, which will move out to blindside flanker. Bobby B will remain in number eight, but that means as a result, Charlie Kale is out of this. He will be moved out of the starting side, which is very big surprise because he's looked very, very promising in the opening fortnight. But goes to show that there is a lot of depth options there. But the option that I'm really excited about, I mentioned it in the podcast last week, was Tua will be coming in and starting at inside centre. If there was one thing that was really frustrating about the Brumbies last week is that they really struggled to go forward. They kept trying to go wide and really try and push that game on advantage, but they didn't really play eyes up rugby, and they needed a bit more of a direct attack. And Tua gives them that. It was clear that that, you know, his inclusion is a very welcome inclusion. He'll be should be a fantastic inclusion into that side. And the Force, just one key change from their starting 23 with Bailey Kunzel coming in after Sam Spink will miss a couple of injury a couple of weeks after sustaining a calf strain. This game's going to be won in the forward pack, to be honest. And while I do think Medrano and Horton have been playing well, Williams has been playing well, the leadership decision to remove them all at once was a very poor choice for the Western Force in their loss. And God, that I don't see their forward pack matching up to the likes of Slipper Lonners and even the likes of Blake Shoup and Billy Pollard coming off the bench. I see Brumbies taking this one.
Yeah, I think the betting agencies have the line at about 18 points. I think that's about right. I can see the Brumbies, yeah, winning by three tries. It's a good point around Tua. I don't think he's certainly not a Bundiaki or a Samu Karevi or a Levi Amua, but he's a bigger body, and I thought, yes, the Brumbies were totally guilty of and probably a little bit anxious about going wide too much last week. So Tua will offer them someone who can go straight and a slightly bigger body in the midfield. I think it's actually a smart idea. You don't need a Charlie Cale, really only in his second season of Super Rugby. He played only a handful of games last year. You don't want to burn players out. I think it's really just a good decision. Tommy Hooper's better at the moment at blindside flanker or in the back row. I don't think he's quite got the muscle yet to be a consistent player in the second row when you're up against New Zealand opposition. He's going to continue to grow into his body. But it is a welcome return from Darcy Twain after a couple of weeks of injury. So, yeah, it'll be a good one. And the Brumbies will be very intent on getting back after last week's thumping at the hands of the Chiefs. All right, it's a New Zealand derby. It could be the match of the round if Fiji and the Crusaders aren't. I think the Hurricanes Blues is going to be a cracker. That's in Wellington at Sky Stadium.
Yeah, first game at the Cake Tin, which should be very, very exciting. And God, I've been very impressed with the Hurricanes this season, but they're coming up against a Blues side that sees Segner return to the starting side at blindside flanker alongside Dalton Papali'i and Akira Ioane, who shifts to number eight. I mean, the big ones has to be the return of Rico Ioane and Finlay Christie off the back of their All Blacks load management. That's a lot of firepower, and that is a very, very dangerous side that they'll be coming up against. I do really like the look of this Hurricane side. I mean, you've got, I think, a lot of side of it. I mean, Amua has been on fire, and he's been very strong. James Tucker as well as Isaiah Walker. Liowere in the second row. Cam Roygaard, of course, you can't discount him at all, as Billy Proctor and Naholo in the back line. This is a thriller. This is game of the round for me. I think it's going to be a fantastic match, but I don't know why it is. Something is telling me that the Blues are going to win it. Something is telling me.
Well, it might be the odds. The odds suggest the Blues are going to win. They probably should have had a tougher afternoon had the Highlanders brought their kicking boots last week at Melbourne. They missed a few early, which just scoreboard pressure is a massive thing in rugby. I think the Blues, just for the fact that Geordie Barrett's out, he's obviously copped a 3-week ban for his head,
yes,
his high tackle on Geordie Bataille. So that sees Riley Higgins come in the midfield to partner Proctor. That's a really significant blow. We know how much Barrett gets through both sides of the ball and a thumping kick. I like what the Blues have done with their bench as well. When the game's going to be in the balance, they're going to look to finish strong. They've got Hoskins at 2-2. He scored a hat-trick last week. He finds himself on the bench this week. So that's a really interesting decision. Ricky Riccitelli, the hooker, he'll come off the bench against his former side as well. So those two, I think, will be able to see the Blues home. Last game of the round is the Reds and the Chiefs. It's a bit of an injury-stricken Reds side off the back of losing Alex Hodgman and the Wallabies, Hunter Paisami and Jordan Bataille. They are three big blows when you're coming up against a really red-hot Chiefs side.
Yeah, and oh God, I think it might be the blows that really prove the difference. It was huge losses, but in the front row, I think Hodgman has been stellar for the Reds in terms of their scrum And I mean, Paisami has been on fire. He's been absolutely fantastic in the back line. And, you know, even Pattaya has really kind of come into his own a lot this season so far, in terms of his Super Rugby form. But Isaac Henry will come in for Paisami. Jock Campbell will shift to the wing, which allows Matt Greeley, who will return to the starting side. As a result, we'll see Fagahisi were promoted to the starting side at loose head prop. And Jeffrey Tumunga Allen will make his debut off the bench, which should be an interesting choice. But, I mean, how good have the Chiefs been looking? And I think they've made a very good decision here. The Chiefs look to be – they are making a couple of changes as well. They've got a couple of new new players joining the starting side in the form of Wallace Satiti, and as well as fly half Josh Jackham, who are in line for their Super Rugby Pacific debuts. However, they're also pairing it by adding a lot of experience to the front row. So Aiden Ross, Taki Aholo, especially starting, George Dyer, clearly trying to set a good, experienced platform so those young, exciting debut players can really flourish. Look, I don't expect it to be a demolition like it was last week, but it's hard to go past the Chiefs, especially with those injuries, isn't it, Christy?
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's good to see Jeffrey Tumunga Allen. I managed to speak to him a couple of weeks ago when I was up at Ballymore. He's a cracker. He provides a lot of experience, but also personality that side. I like the fact that Jock Campbell comes to fullback. I think he's a better fullback than wing. And Isaac Henry is really highly regarded by the Reds. He has been for a number of years, but injuries have plagued his progress. But unchanged in the halves, that's a boost for them. But yeah, the Chiefs, it's a stronger looking type five when you are, you know, Sammy Sony Tokiar, who's come off the bench the last couple of weeks, and now with him starting. Josh Ioane at fullback, there's a lot of flair there. He'll partner with Damian McKenzie, who's at fly half. Sean Stevenson moves to the right wing. It's a really well-balanced team. I think the Chiefs win by a couple of tries, but it would have been fascinating to see how the Reds would have perhaps gone. And I still think that they'll be in the game for 50 minutes. But losing Paisami, I think, in particular, is a big one. Hodgman, with his work rate and ability at the ruck, the rack is what the Reds have got to contain. The Brumbies didn't do it last week. So, yeah, it'll be – I think they're about forward a lot outside as the Reds. So it probably is a fair enough reflection from what the bookies are suggesting. But it's a big weekend at the moment. The top three positions in the Super Rugby table all held by New Zealand teams, with the Chiefs, Hurricanes, Blues. The Reds are the top of the Aussie sides at the moment on 6 points. They picked up a couple of bonus points, which does help. Then the Highlanders, Brumbies, Rebels and the Waratahs round out the rest of the top eight. Moana Pacific, Crusaders, Fiji, Drua, Western Force, the bottom four. Who would have thought the Crusaders would have been sitting 10th at this stage? I don't know if I did, but it's a lot of pressure on a Rob Penny, given that the Crusaders, Rob Penny had a tough time finishing up with the Waratahs. I think he lost five straight there, and he's lost his first couple with the Crusaders too. So he wants to break his winless record there. Nick, the other bit of news, and we'll just touch upon this really quickly, the Australian Rugby Australia review was finally, some of the recommendations were revealed, 23 recommendations. To me, a fair bit of buzzwords around culture, a little bit more accountability, trying to explain selection at times, and who's they're trying to explain it to. I'm not sure whether or not it's the players or the public, or perhaps it's, and my understanding is they're going to look to implement a selection panel in there. That wasn't the case with Eddie Jones there last year. He probably acted more as a dictator than a coach. But yeah, I wasn't hugely excited about what I saw. And the other bit of information that was revealed was the Wallabies World Cup budget, $2.65 million unapproved blowout. To me, I'm not surprised by that. There was things like planes that weren't chartered for in coming back from Arnhem Land ahead of the World Cup. There was a late move of the hotel ahead of the Bledisloe, with Eddie Jones deciding to go a bit rogue and pick his own hotel. which wasn't budgeted for. 2.5 million, it's a bit of money. It's a lot of money in the schemes of things where Australian rugby is really struggling at the moment and they've gone into loans. But it could have been worse. I think there was reports of $4 million budgets. Whether or not that budget, we don't actually know the official number of how much they spent either. So there's still a little bit more digging to play out there, Nick.
Yeah, certainly is. And look, there's one thing that you can really say. It is kind of good that Phil just kind of laid it out, the final figure. But the fact it was an unapproved amount of $2.6 million just really highlights that how many questions need to be asked about exactly what happened last year that allowed it to get out to such a huge margin. On the other side, looking at kind of the recommendations that were put forward, the only thought that I had was looking at those recommendations was we need to give as many resources as possible to Peter Horn because the high performance, there's a lot of stuff around high performance and high performance strategy in there. And of course, that is a role that Peter has picked up and worked with. And considering a lot of the directives and things will be focusing and going through him, it is very, very clear that they need to make sure that process is as streamlined as possible for him to adequately deliver a lot of these recommendations. Because I mean, there was a lot of stuff there that I wasn't necessarily surprised about. There was a lot of stuff there that I think a lot of your average punter wouldn't be that surprised about. But whether you can enact it is another question entirely, and you need to give him the best chance to.
Yeah, we're seeing actions over words is what many Australian rugby fans are wanting. The other thing that stands out is last year Rugby Australia didn't have a high performance manager.
That's right.
It's not surprising when I think of one of the first comments that Hamish McLennan made. It was really in regards to the Giteau law and whether or not Eddie would be able to pick carte blanche over from players overseas. And Hamish McLennan leaned across the table there at Matt Treville and said, whatever you want, whatever he wants, rather. And I feel like that's what RA empowered and allowed Eddie Jones to do whatever he wanted, I think, last year. There was no checks and balances. There is going to be that going forward. With some of the main protagonists no longer there, it's no surprise that some of these things will be able to be ushered through pretty easily and just common sense sort of things as well. So anyway, that is in the rearview mirror. It's probably puts a really good bow on the Wallabies World Cup campaign. We've seen the doco on stand. We've now got the recommendations that have come out too. So anyway, on to Super Rugby, round three around the corner. Thanks for listening in and tuning. Nick, thank you for joining for this rapid fire edition of the Raw Rugby Podcast as well.
Very welcome. And hey, here we go. Round three.
Yeah, it's going to be great, particularly 12:05 on Saturday for four games, and Fiji looking for their first win, as are the Crusaders. So please tune in. And of course, check out theraw.com.au for all your information on rugby. All righty. Cheers.